Hey yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo, and warning, next week's episode of We Talk Wrestling will contain use of the word fuck. This week's episode, though,
really?
You'll probably be okay.
Fucking right you will.
All right, We Talk Wrestling. Let's get to it.
We do. Monday Night Raw.
Happened.
Yes. it may still be going on.
Oh, God, it felt like it. We're doing this one on a Wednesday night, a little bit different than the Thursdays we've been up to, and we're on Skype, and I watched the show, kind of skipping through a lot of it, and I have it right up with the spoiler zone right now, because I, honest to God, can't remember anything. Like, it was just so packed with angles, and then long wrestling matches, which just managed to bore me.
Well, the thing was that, I mean, and part of it was the, again, they just got so lazy that they replayed the opener from WrestleMania 20. Fuck, when they're like, John Cena against the Big Show tonight. I was like, wow, that's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Brand new match, fresh match. Well, that's exactly, I think that's part of the reason why the longer matches can't, like, even when you're seeing a longer match that is fresh, you know you're going to see it again next week or the week after that or a month from now or, you know, at a long view. Like, because they do recycle and they have such a long, a shallow roster, it feels like, that even when you get a fresh matchup and even if it goes on for a while, it's tough to get excited about it because you're just going to see it again until you are sick of it. And
well, they recycle, they reuse, you know, they recover. Why don't they reduce?
Yeah, well, that's exactly it. I mean, it's a broken record at this point. 3 hours is too damn long. Then again, it's also paced poorly. Like I said, you have so many angles. The first hour particularly just felt like it had a billion of one angles. Then I watched the wrestling matches. Sure. The wrestling matches are filler. So why is it the angles aren't all pushed together and rushed together and the matches aren't spaced out better? And I don't know. Maybe is Billy Kidman still timing this show?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. He's itchy. But my absolute favorite part of the show was my favorite part of the 3 hour show was when the primetime players were eliminated by the Usos in a fatal four-way elimination tag match during the commercial break.
Yeah.
Fuck. Like,
importance
for what?
Of a wash rag.
I mean, for, well, not even the fact that they lost, but they lost during a fucking commercial break and you have three fucking hours.
They cannot get this shit right. We're live, big man. We're live. It's not that easy.
When you're live.
Yeah, I mean, the top highlight of the show was Cody Rhodes' mustache.
Yes, agreed. And the chant.
What's that?
The chant.
Chant was great.
I mean, the thing about the chant, though, is, I mean, like, we talked about it, and you know, like, Movember was last month. And even, I mean, part of it even is, I mean, the chant isn't even original because, as we all know, last month, even though it was Movember, I participated in Movember. And I think everywhere we went, when we went to the mall, when we went to the, you know, to get food, I mean, how many times did we hear, Addy's
everywhere.
Mustache, Addy's
everywhere.
Mustache. I mean, so, like, even that, you can't get right. So, it's...
No. But you know what, it is true that it's like, the crowd reacted to that. And
how about Miz calling Ian Sandow a vagina?
I don't remember him saying that. Like I said, I'm skipping through this, so I stopped a little bit with the chance and Cody, but he didn't call him a vagina.
What did he say? He did. And called him a vagina and Cody an asshole because he came up with their new team name.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Pink and Stink.
Yes, he did. He said Pink and Stink and said something about Manny Pacquiao. Yeah. Miz sucks.
Miz is fucking horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ. Just the worst. They need to turn him heel again. And then 6 months to a year, turn him babyface again, and this time good. This time do it well.
I think need to, I don't know, fire him.
Well, no. No, I mean, for our sake, I would say so. But for their sake, they shouldn't fire the guy. For our sake, I would say so, though, because, yeah, I mean, he's
Let's make him on the main event. Let's make him exclusive to the main event show. Because we don't get that.
Actually,
show.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. 100%. Do something like that.
Just do.
You know, make that the Miz's show, the main event, something like that. It's not going to last much longer, anyways. Though, and then we're going to have him again. So, you know, I mean,
true. Because CM Punk is going to be defending the championship on Ion on the main event in 2017.
That's true. That's true.
Sorry.
What was I thinking?
So
book it. Book it. That show's not gonna last long anyway, so like we say, it's I don't know, is there anything else like in the old days when you would have something like that Cody's mustache, they would use it, they would find a way to work it in cleverly and make something out of it.
It's this week's wash rag.
But that's what I'm thinking too. If they do it, they're gonna do it wrong. If they do manage to use it, they're not gonna do it well. So
but yeah, no, exactly. I mean, if Miz's thing there is, and I have a feeling that Miz, that was kind of him, sort of free flowing there, going into to business for himself. Because I mean, really, Miz. The one thing I will say about Miz is, especially in a PG environment, Miz is awful at like a battle rap.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you've seen it now 2 weeks in a row. Cody Rhodes owned him, and CM Punk owned him. And I have a feeling if Miz was backstage, he would be able to maybe, you know, he'd have a better chance. Because he'd just curse and swear and go anywhere he wanted, but he can't do that. And I think that's what – he almost freezes saying, you know, like, I mean, Pink and Stink is
– Well, he's got to stay PG and he's got to stay babyface. And he doesn't understand the psychology of a babyface. So he struggles as to what he's supposed to say. So that's what's happening. And it's, you know, and he doesn't work as a babyface. He may never have the personality for babyface. But then again, if they did it well, who knows? I mean, but,
work. Yeah. So,
then like, I don't know anything else. AJ Lee, fuck. This is as much go away heat this week for me as she's ever had. And the whole thing about her running into the bat or into the men's locker room and John Cena having to cover her up. What the fuck was that? That was the dumbest thing I'd ever seen.
Facial expressions of John Cena made me giggle. But other than that, it was the funny thing I thought there was after she lost because of the Maddox, Brad Maddox. Yeah.
Which again also doesn't make any sense, but hey.
Well, but then she started throwing a fucking temper tantrum for losing a. And it's like, I love this because she's in the back there still throwing shit around and she's upset that she lost a match. And here come John Cena to say, don't worry, calm down. Wins and losses don't matter.
Well, we've seen that from him a million times. Don't you know when you lose, you don't get upset. You smile. Championships come and they go. This is the same fucking guy who said championships, who actually on TV said that. Championships, they come and they go. World championships, they come and they go, actually, I believe.
The funny thing was, as I said, that was my exact thought, was here he is to calm her down, to tell her not to be upset because he lost. It doesn't mean anything. And it was just, but, yeah, I have this, I mean, it's clear that AJ is going to be turning into, you know, fan stalker, you know, whatever you call that, to John Cena here, and it just be, you know, who cares?
I mean, I guess if you want... I don't know what they're going to do with her. So damned annoying.
The thing is, I look at this as...
Vicky Guerrero's face when she was when Vince got her to say, book the match between herself and AJ, that was pretty funny. Okay, I like that 2 second moment.
Fucking hate. I mean, again, and Wade Barrett, did he fail a test?
Yeah, no shit, huh?
No entrance, job in 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, both guys in that title match lost. In the both guys in the IC title match lost. Now we're going to pay to watch them on Sunday. Well, we're not.
Well, no. But that was a good... that was a nice finish. The match went long between Antonio and Cody.
Well, Antonio just... Nice. He's, I mean, he's one of my favorite acts. But they don't have many acts that I'm a big fan of, so...
Oh, that's right. He is the act. I mean, there's to me, it's that and the Shield is. Is
really
Wade
Barrett. I still mean, Wade Barrett as an act. I still enjoy. You know, I mean, they just because they fucked it up this week, but they did badly though.
And actually, the Rhodes Scholars.
Yep, Rhodes Scholars. I like. Yeah.
I'm glad the Usos got a little bit.
I'm primetime players. I like their acts though. I mean, there is stuff I like.
I think the primetime players got new music.
I wouldn't know. I don't. I, you know.
New music I heard on SmackDown, which just baffled me because it's like you're just starting to get used to the boom, da, 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 boom, baby. And then it's like then they go change it, and it's like, fuck, why?
I don't know. They like but to do that anyway, shit.
You know, because they're morons. But do we have anything else from Raw?
Not really. Do you want to just break down the TLC pay-per-view here then? Look at the card?
Yeah, let's look at the cards shaping up. We should note quickly before it's unknown yet exactly what it is, but Randy Orton injured at the SmackDown.
Oh, okay. That's right. How badly do we know? It looks like for a little while. Actually, I guess he was injured. There was an injury angle at the SmackDown tapings. He was injured on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I think about his wrist, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe probably from pushing them. Kane is also working with an injured knee, tweaked his knee, but he's going to keep working.
Yeah, he'll probably be all right. He's only in a TLC match.
That's right, exactly. Next week, though, WWE week.
But then it's a TLC match with pinfalls or submissions. That doesn't
submissions,
suck.
Submissions, yeah. No, I know, that's not retarded. It's WWE week next week.
Oh, okay.
Raw, we have the TLC on Sunday. Raw, 3 hours Monday. Tuesday,
2 hours commercial-free.
Commercial-free SmackDown.
Yeah.
And then I think you got Ion and Tribute to the Troops. And
yeah, the Tribute to the Troops featuring Kermit the Frog, Miss Piggy, yes. And The Miz. As The Miz conducts a, whatever, his session. Miz, what's that?
Miz TV.
Yeah, he conducts his Miz TV trying to get... trying to find out what the real relationship is between Kermit and Miss Piggy in front of a bunch of guys who are trained to shoot people to kill them and, you know, in front of army. Like, what the... That's not your crowd. Like, it amazes me how the Tribute to the Troops is the... on a PG product, the most PG product of a show that they put on all year is the Tribute to the Troops, you know, That's not playing to your crowd at all.
No, and the thing is, I mean, the more...
I guarantee those fucking guys could give a shit. They're 20 years old. They're, you know, like...
The more upsetting thing with that is that, I mean, The Miz is sitting there grilling Kermit and Miss Piggy, wanting them to get married on Miz TV. Get married on Miz TV. And anybody that saw Muppets Take Manhattan know that Kermit and Miss Piggy are already married. So I beg him to do his
I thought
research.
He was just trying to find a not to get them to marry. I thought he was, who gives a fuck. Anyways, yeah, so there's going to be a lot of WWE TV Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So that's 3 hours Sunday, 6, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
We're going to have 10 hours over 5 days. And... I'd like to know who the fan is who's going to watch all of that.
Yeah. I'd like to know who is going to write all of that.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck.
Yeah. No kidding.
It's of commercial-free SmackDown. It's probably going to be the worst fucking shit you've ever seen after you do a pay-per-view and then a three-hour Raw.
Yeah. Well, usually SmackDown, when they gets no attention and something like this, they... See, I mean, it depends on how much attention they give it, right? They'll probably give it, I mean, who knows?
Well, get attention. But, yeah,
usually the less attention and the more they just go, oh, shit, let's just put on a show. And, you know, and they don't do anything stupid and it's just long matches and simple angles. That's usually when SmackDown's at its best, right?
When they don't do anything
stupid. Yeah, my mistake. All right, so this TLC this weekend, the pre-show is Layla versus Caitlyn versus Alicia Fox versus Natalya versus Tamina Snuka versus Oksana, who is she a babyface or a heel now, versus Rosa Mendez versus Cameron versus Naomi. That's right, the dancers are in there. In a Santa's Little Helper Battle Royal for the number one contendership, I guess, and this is on YouTube?
Yes, this is the YouTube pre-show for, yeah, a contendership match. Doesn't say, they didn't say whether if the winner is going to fight Eve, like, on TLC or just at some point in the future. Maybe as the main event.
Well,
of the
on Tribute to the Troops, Layla pins Eve. So I don't think you do that at the pay-per-view then. So who knows? I mean, again, all I know is, here's the selling point of this, at least at one point in time, would have been, hey, see these really, really hot divas in these really, really skimpy, sexy Santa's Little Helpers, you know, outfits. And now in the PG current era, that's not the pull. So instead, it's what? It's watch this tremendous battle royal with these world-class athletes.
They're going to be dressed like Mrs. Claus at a mall Santa
pretty
shop.
Pretty much. And, you know, have they given up on YouTube? This feels like it.
Well, I mean, I remember I told you last time is for the YouTube when I watched it for whatever Survivor Series. And we had talked about the height of, you know 40,000, 60,000 people when they first started. And there was like 3,700 people on this thing. I mean, if they haven't given up on it, people have given up on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's...
It's WWE, right?
2.7.
Yeah, and when we should mention that's probably largely because that's a football game. Texans, Patriots. I'm looking forward to it all weekend. Yeah, pretty much, it's the thing I'm looking forward to the most. Monday night, I can't wait. I sit down to watch it, and it's a total blowout. And I stopped watching by early second quarter.
Yeah, I think I texted you because we were talking about that. I had the game on the TV and the Raw on the laptop. And I was telling you, like, at this point, it's a push.
As to what to watch, which is not saying much for the game.
Just to which one's better, yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I suspect a lot of people are kind of the same thing in that it's actually – I can watch a blowout if I'm expecting a blowout, and it's fun. But when you're really built up for a Titanic matchup and you get – you know, a blowout and it's not even close and not even competitive, it's a disappointment. So I just turned it off. And I think a lot of people probably did that, and that probably helped Raw.
Yeah, right. I mean, the last blowout I watched was your mom's sex tape.
So you watched all 22 minutes?
Mother.
All right. What the hell else? TLC, there we go. So we got Big Show versus Sheamus, Chairs match. Probably be 2.5, 3 stars. Probably be 3 stars.
No, 2.5.
They generally work well together. They have the gimmick. Again, it's one of those gimmicks that it's how do you work this gimmick in the PG era? It's one of those, you know.
Well, I mean, you can still can. I mean, it's all just chairs to the back. It's pilmanizing. It's things like that that you can do. It's just not chairs to the head. That's the only thing you're eliminating is chair shots from the head and chair shots to the head. And that, I mean, I don't know that necessarily that one spot's going to bring a match over the top, right?
I don't know. I just know that...
You need a chair shot to the head to make your match worth seeing. Then
More the idea that the entire pay-per-view is going to have nothing, you know, too extreme. And yet you still consistently book these extreme stipulations. And so it does become counterintuitive.
I think when you're talking extreme, it's going to be, you know, the Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan show where you're flying off of ladders through tables and stuff. Those are the spots you're going to get.
So, anyways, Big Show. So, what are you expecting? I think Big Show probably retains.
I'm still on the whole Big Show retains against and goes against Ryback at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think so. Especially since CM Punk said, I'm done with you, Ryback. That's what you get for injuring the champion right before you're supposed to get a title shot. And which is an interesting concept, because in real sports, that would be true. In the WWE history, that's never happened before. But, you know, it's true. I mean, Ryback's just not going to, you know. I guess there is plans. They do plan to do something on Raw between Ryback and Punk, but, you know.
Yes. Ryback and Punk will happen, I would almost guarantee it at this point, on the 20th anniversary of Raw in January 2013. That episode would be with the 20th anniversary. I would think you would headline with that match.
Yeah, and again, it's just going to be a counter, a backdrop, though, for whoever is Ryback's next feud, if it's still the Shield at that point or whatever, right?
So I think it's the go-home. I think it's just the go-home show where Punk beats Ryback. You hype it up all show. You know, who's going to fight The Rock at the Royal Rumble? Is it going to be Ryback or is it going to be Punk? Right? And just,
So Kingston versus Barrett for the IC belt, the coveted Intercontinental Championship.
Coveted.
What's worth more, this or the coveted...
The coveted LeVar trophy from the Royal Albert
Hall? Yeah, what's actually a bigger...
Well, to an Englishman, Wade Barrett, probably the coveted LeVar trophy from the Royal Albert Hall.
Barrett should go over here, not because he should have the IC belt, because who gives a shit about it, just because he should be beating Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, especially after doing a minute job with no entrance on Raw. What a
star. Our fucking truth.
Yeah, our fucking truth, dude. I mean, Jesus Christ, now we're supposed to take our truth seriously?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, though. They legitimately, that's why, good question, did he fail the test? Because they legitimately have been saying that they believe Wade Barrett's going to be a star. Like, the company's behind the guy. And then this.
He's on the radar to get a big push in 2013 to, like, be a player next year. You know, and you do a 58-second or a minute and three or whatever the hell it was, John.
Well, again, it comes back down to they don't know what the fuck they're doing.
This is true. And it probably is that writer fucker that doesn't know the difference as to, why would...
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't get it. So we got Dolph Ziggler versus John Cena.
We do. The main
event. Is that the main event?
Got to be the John Cena. It's got to be the main
event. It's a ladder match. It's actually a ladder match. It's unlike the TLC. So, I don't know. I still think Cena wins that and uses that to cash in against The Rock at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I'm still thinking that's...
Because otherwise, if what's-his-name Ryback wins the Royal Rumble and takes on Big Show, what the fuck is... They do keep on referencing those Ziggler taking the title away from Big Show. Or Sheamus, that belt, that briefcase is only for that guy on that roster. But then again, maybe it's that briefcase is only for that guy on that roster because Ziggler technically is part of the SmackDown roster. So if Cena gets it, he can use it technically for the one he's on the Raw brand.
When you go all the way back, I mean, obviously technically it's a blue briefcase for a reason from way back. But at one point they did tease him cashing it in on Punk.
Did they?
Yeah.
I do not recall.
And, you know, remember when they were doing the whole, when Heyman and Punk would, like, walk out on tag matches, and then Ziggler walked out on Punk in a tag match, and they kind of had a little bit of that dissension-y stuff, probably, I think, October-ish, I think it was.
I do remember, I remember the great moment outside the ring. With Heyman and Vicky screaming at them while Ziggler's getting beat up. Okay, so they did. So, okay, so either way, I still think that's how they go, because if Ryback's winning the Royal Rumble, when else would Ziggler cash it in and it mean anything?
Well, yeah, and I mean,
we're not going to see. We're not going to see. Ziggler isn't going to play into the Punk, Cena, Rock, whole thing. And if Ryback and Big Show is what's happening, he's not going to play into that whole thing either. It's not going to be Ryback versus Ziggler. It's going to be Ryback versus... And he's not... Is he going to fail? I don't think so. So, I mean, it just makes sense that it goes to Cena.
No, well, see, here's the thing. Is I see both the Cena thing again. If you overlook the SmackDown of the briefcase, the Cena thing makes logical, you know, storytelling yeah. sense, right? I mean, there's parts and it flows. When it comes to, I mean, there's nothing that says if Ziggler wins, it's I could see both sides. If Ziggler wins, all that means is Cena wins the Rumble. You find a way for Ryback to embarrass, you know, the Big Show, and Big Show agrees to put the title on the line against Ryback, or you do a Gold Rush tournament.
So Ziggler tries to cash in against Big Show and fails?
You do a beat the cock? No. And then what you do is at WrestleMania, Ryback beats the Big Show, KO punch after the match by Big Show. Ziggler comes down, cashes in on the prone Ryback, leaves WrestleMania with the title. Then you've got Ryback going after Ziggler in for the title. And that, I mean, I can see both of those things.
It seems highly unlikely to me. I think if they put the belt on,
cash in and win at Mania.
No, that's true. But I think if they're going to put the belt on Ryback, I don't think they're going to take it off of him 37 seconds later. I think, or eight seconds or whatever that was that Big Show had it.
I don't remember the Big Show, to be honest. I thought it was like 57
or whatever
seconds
it was.
Or something.
The point is, I just don't think they'll do that to him. I think if they get him the belt, it's to really is to give him that moment at WrestleMania to make the big star. So.
Yeah. Well, that could be too. I mean, so.
All right, Team Hell No and Ryback against the Shield. I'll say I think the Shield pins Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or, Daniel Bryan or Kane, one of Hell No. I mean, probably Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
I
they'll pin Daniel Bryan. Or Ryback will pin Dean Ambrose.
Yes, that's true. The smallest guy on the team.
Well, yeah, he'll take the pin, exactly. Again, we're not going to see that. I don't know if we'll ever see Ambrose and Daniel Bryan have their moment together in the ring as former ROH guys, being a TLC match and six-man Texas Tornado rules here. The promo from SmackDown that they had was great.
They're all going to be just wait. They're all going to get drugged up and lose a leg.
But anyways, the promo that the Shield had was great, because what I liked the most was the new presentation, and I thought that Roman Reigns had the best presence. Just quietly saying he would say things. He wasn't pushing it too hard. He wasn't raising his voice. And when he said it, you believed it. And I thought he showed great presence.
Yeah. And I had someone mention to me this comparison that I hadn't really thought of, but it makes kind of logical sense with Dean Ambrose, is that he's very, in a good way, he's very Roddy Piper.
Yeah, you know what? That's a good one. I see that. Yeah. I see that.
And it's,
the way he touches his hair, kind of, you know, rolls it back through, he runs his hands through his hair. Head and just, you know, and just kind of like a little bit of a manic energy, but there's a point to what he's saying.
Yeah. And the facial expression to go along with his voice. I mean, just he has kind of that.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Yep. Right. So, and I mean, and unfortunately, Seth Rollins is just kind of getting left in the.
Well, he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have a bad look, but he does have, he just has the least presence. He's the.
Thus far, he is. He is the Marty Jannetty.
Well,
of the Shield.
And he has the like I say, he has the best. He's the best wrestler, but he has the least amount of presence. So I mean, he's going to be great as long as the Shield lasts, and hopefully, it lasts a really long time. Probably not, though. Once it's over, he's the guy who I would be worried about.
So till April,
yeah, if that.
Yeah. All right, figure Mania, but. But yeah, so that's, I mean, yeah, I would expect that to happen. Pinfalls and submissions count.
They said in this promo that, again, they reiterated, and they said it in a way that I believe them, that they're not working for anybody else. They're not working for Heyman or Punk or anybody else. So do you still think we're going to see that?
I don't know. You know, it's something that you could put out almost like a benefactor type thing. At any point now, so when they did, I would get away from it, and then just you know, if it really kind of, if they needed a pop or they didn't have anything for Mania or they needed something to do, then that's the thing. But, I mean, this pack of wolves mentality, you know, like when you said how long that they can last, and they can last for a while because you've got, you know, you're going to go in a six-man here. I would hope that they would win, just, again, being that it's their first thing. I would hope that they would cheat to win and get that, because otherwise, again, you run the risk of a spirit squad.
Or, right? I mean, even Nexus, right? I mean...
Yeah, that's... Yeah, perfect example. Build up to SummerSlam. And they lost.
And they never had the momentum again.
Right? They were decimated. Yeah. And that's the thing. But I would hope that they would get the win. I mean, again, when Ryback's in, you don't know. I mean, you talk about Super Cena. At this point, he's kind of Super Ryback as well. Or
Super,
you know,
duper
or
Ryback. He's on the cut.
You're yes. welcome. Thank you. Thank you. But I just, you know, you can always do, I mean, you think of who you can beat down. You can do something like you beat down three guys and then have another six-man at Mania, yeah. right? You know, that kind of thing. But you always have that mystery kind of who are they working for in the
I still see a Ryback 1-versus-3 and beating them all match happening at some point, so and we'll see.
Gauntlet?
Not even a gauntlet, a 3-on-1.
See, I could see a gauntlet on I know the only reason I could see a gauntlet because they have 3 hours of Raw.
Yeah, well, you might see both. Don't be surprised. So we also got Antonio Cesaro versus R-Truth again, coming off their Cracker Jack match coming off their match last month.
Cracker Jimmy? Yeah, not Cracker,
yeah.
Cracker Jimmy.
If Cracker Jimmy means 1.5 stars.
Cesaro's
still good,
Cesaro will win and life
yeah,
will
exactly.
go on.
And a match that I am actually looking forward to, Mysterio and Sin Cara versus Team Rhodes Scholar. Or by the way, are they called Team The Shield?
I hope so.
Okay. So, and you say Daniels and Kazarian now, they're now Bad Influence? So they're Team Bad Influence?
Team Bad Influence, and it's Team Road Scholars against Team Sin Cara and Rey Mysterio.
I thought it was Team Mexicans.
No, that's Chavo and Hernandez.
Oh, my mistake. Team Luchadors? Anyways, it's a tables match. So the Road Scholars should win this. They'll get the number one contendership and a Royal Rumble take on Team Hell No. This should be a good match. It's actually probably the match I'm looking forward to the most.
So we're not buying
what's that?
So we're not buying
nope.
it then. I mean, this should be a decent enough match.
So I don't know. Anything else you want to say about TLC? Anything you expect? I guess we're not going to see any of the big names. We won't see, you know, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker until Royal Rumble or anything. I think all three of those guys have a chance. I know Undertaker's going to be at the Royal Rumble. Yeah.
Do you? Do you talk to him?
Well, because of the new haircut he's got. And we got a punk rock.
Right. There you
so,
go.
Yeah, he'll be there.
Keep rolling.
That's not punk rock. That's shit rock. So anyways. We're not going to see anything else. Anything else you want to say about TLC?
This is a funny instance where we kind of talked about how there's no matches announced. They have 6, maybe 7 matches announced. 7 if you include the Battle Royal announced. It's just, it's not feeling anything for this pay-per-view.
No.
And even if you had, even if you took Punk and Ryback and you know, like Punk's not hurt and you do Punk and Ryback DLC, I still don't. You know, there's nothing to me for this.
No, I would agree with you. And again, it comes down to, it's really, really tough for us to feel the weight of these gimmick matches when it's just because the pay-per-view is happening.
Well, that's just it. I mean, so.
All right, let's move on here then. You did watch Final Resolution, so just give me your thoughts on that from TNA.
I was trying to think of what to give this out of 10, because I don't want to give. I didn't want to give it a 6. I'm giving it a 5.75 out of 10. Because I couldn't justify giving it a 6, and I could. It's a little better than 5.5, but it's not a 6. I mean, yeah, so that's where I'm going with that, 5.75 for it. I mean, some of the stuff was decent enough. The crowd was shit.
As they always are in pay-per-views. And I think it's pay-per-views, it seems to me, just the way it comes across, pay-per-views being on a Sunday is a tourist crowd who's there who doesn't really know the guys or give a shit. And, you know, their Thursday nights is their regular, you know, or people who live in Orlando who feel a little bit of connection to a homegrown. So they feel like it's a homegrown product to some degree. So they get a little bit better crowd.
We've talked about the Spike TV influence. If Spike isn't, you know, maybe they're the ones that have the audio capabilities as well that aren't doing it for their. But anyway, I mean, you had, the Daniels beating AJ Styles with the Styles Clash was great. Jeff Hardy took just this incredibly sick bump. He did one of those, what they call poetry in motion. Yeah. He ran on the outside of the ring, ran up this, like, moved the steps, ran up to hit Bobby Roode on the guardrail, but Roode moved, and Hardy literally landed on the metal guardrail and then thudded on the ground. It was sick.
Yeah, that sounds like that insane bastard.
Yes. So, but I mean, other than that, you know, it was just there, you know.
And there was no, was there a single title change? I believe there was a single title change in this thing, right? Was there?
Change seems like Kenny King is turning heel to go up against RVD coming out.
Yeah, because he lost at the Sunday, and then in the tapings, because they've taped a few shows to get through Christmas, so he does beat RVD non-title. And the same thing, they got the storyline here that AJ comes out and says, oh, it was a horrible 2012, and now I'm going to look out just for myself. And it's not quite a full heel turn, but they're doing it, and there's a storyline behind a heel turn. And all that said, I love the fact that there's a storyline. I think they're doing it fairly well. But it's AJ Styles as a heel, and they have got, what is it? Is it, I can think of at least, off the top of my head, 8 times he's been a heel. 8
really?
Times he's been a heel since he's been there. None of them have ever lasted for more than just a few months.
That's true.
Only one time was it ever effective, and he was closer to a comedy character, and that was when, was that?
When he was with Russo, you mean?
No, when he was with Christian and Christian and him and Tomko, and he was kind of the little brother who was trying to hang with the cool kids. Every other time he works as a heel, and I don't care if he's got Russo with him or Ric Flair or he's doing it by himself, it doesn't work. Number one, people don't want to boo him, especially since he is still the face of TNA too. Hardcore homegrown fans, but more than that, his wrestling style does not say baby or does not say heel, and he doesn't fucking change his style in the least when he works heel. I don't know why they keep on fucking doing this, because it always fails.
Well, the thing with this time though is he's got longer hair.
Oh, okay. Will he grow? Will he grow a beard? Then we really know he's got heel.
That's true. A goatee beard, then we know he's heel. That's true. But no, TNA is taped for all of December, and they're going to come back live on January the 3rd, where they've done some promos
for Blood Runs Cold.
1-3-18, Blood Runs Cold. Been now revealed Blood Runs Cold, Sting.
Oh. So is there anything going to happen then in these Impact spoilers that you're going to be looking forward to?
I'll watch the AJ subtle heel turn thing, because when I was reading that, as I read the spoiler, I thought, you know, sort of, it's almost kind of shades of a Bret Hart speech.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, so I'll watch it. I mean, I'll leave kind of an open. I mean, I don't think it's going to work either. For what, you know, same reasons that you've just said, is that it's been, if it's been tried once, it's been tried 1,000 times. It just, you know, the guy's not a heel, but I'll watch it. We'll see and just go from there. But anything else, I mean, not really. I mean, if Kenny King gets, you know, maybe some promo time and gets allowed to maybe develop a little bit of a character, I'd be interested in seeing how that, you know, how that goes. But again, he's going to be pigeonholed as an X Division talent anyway. Yeah. So it's not like he's going to get to the top,
no.
But we'll see. I do like, I mean, you're talking about the aces and eights and how, that's the other thing now is that with the aces and eights, to end the show, no turn by Wes Briscoe and Garrett Bischoff on Kurt Angle at the reviews as I was expecting. And they did sort of tease some of that and they saved Kurt from like getting a hammer shot there. So to kind of prove their worth, I guess, for lack of a better word. But, then at the end of the show, because it had been that Bobby Roode had paid Aces and Eights to rough up Jeff Hardy on the go-home show of Impact. And Aces and Eights come out again to beat down Jeff, but then go beat down Jeff and Bobby Roode.
That's right.
And so Hardy wins the retains the title there.
Are they turning Bobby Roode babyface?
That's what it kind of seems
it does,
like,
doesn't
is
it?
That they're turning... Austin Aries is the one that paid Aces and Eights to beat them both.
Austin Aries, who had his arm broke by the one guy, now is paying them off.
Yeah, yes.
But...
Yeah.
No. So it does seem like, in fact, they have Austin Aries in the spoilers. I believe for the December 27th show, they have Austin Aries against Bobby Roode scheduled for that night. So it'd be interesting to see how the crowd takes to that. I mean, I imagine that they would still be behind Austin Aries, but.
I was going to say, a lot of the fans have never really stopped being behind
Austin
Aries.
Again, I don't know. They want him to be a heel, but he shouldn't be. He shouldn't be.
No, he should be your number two babyface behind Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, he should be your number two babyface behind Jeff Hardy, and you should be looking to make him your number one down the road.
Exactly, when Jeff Hardy goes to WWE in March.
Which I don't think will happen, but if it does... even if he doesn't, you should still transition to the other guy because there's more of an upside, more future with Aries than there is with Jeff Hardy. You know, 35-year-old beat up dude. So all right. Anything else then?
Yeah. From TNA? No.
All right then. Let's move on. We got a few email topics. I got an email topic. Somebody direct messaged me on Twitter, so I got a topic there.
Let me do the last quick hit, and then we'll just jump into.
Yeah,
those,
you got any news items or whatever that's worth talking about here?
Well, just WrestleMania 30 looks to be headed to the Superdome.
Oh, and okay.
New Orleans, Louisiana.
You know, a lot of people are under the same. A lot of people are under the same boat as us here, or the same, you know. In that we live in a city where we know there's no chance in hell we're ever going to get WrestleMania. That sucks.
Yes.
And in fact, we're never even going to get a SummerSlam because it's always going to be in Los Angeles, and that sucks. So I mean, that's just that's just gonna say that. I mean, that's the case for most people. For the people in New Orleans, good for them. I think New Orleans is a good place to hold WrestleMania 30. It's I mean, when I think of WrestleMania 30, I would think, you know, I would think you would even want a bigger, more, you know, I would have thought Atlanta would have been a better choice, for instance, just from you could have gone to the Georgia Dome and had 70,000 people. But I guess you're going to have a lot of people in the Superdome. It's just as far as a major market, a large media market and a major market, New Orleans isn't as big as some of the other ones they've been to, especially recently, especially for WrestleMania 30.
I honestly think that this is, quite frankly, long overdue, that they should have done it closer to Katrina as part of – because you talk about, like, the economic boom that these WrestleManias all bring, and they have the studies and whatnot as to how many millions of dollars come in. And I mean, who could use that, you know, more than
New
Orleans,
they complained
right?
about how when WrestleMania – what was it? Was it 18 now? 19? 19 in Seattle. Wasn't it? Holy shit, I can't believe it's that fucking long ago. Because it doesn't feel that long ago.
I know.
But WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, the WWE blamed it doing poorly on the fact that it wasn't in a major media center in northeastern United States. So I'm not really sure how much more of a major market or major media center you would say New Orleans is than Seattle.
No, but it's more of, again, you've got that heartwarming story that these, you know, things still aren't great since that and da 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 da, and they've had lots of things and these people really need. So we're going to bring economic WWE fans, the universe is going to come to New Orleans and drop their money and help. The thing is, when you talk about WrestleMania 19, how long ago it was so long ago that you think that, like, The Rock, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, and Triple H were the big draws to that WrestleMania. That's how long ago it was.
Well, a few others. Shawn Michaels, Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon. Chris Jericho had the match with Shawn Michaels. The great match there. So, all right.
Yeah. Booker. And his kind had the match against Triple H.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this is when they were – oh, man. Anyways, that's right. That's when they were doing the 10th anniversary of Raw. Didn't they do it for that show or something like that? Or there was something where whatever. Fuck it. Let's move on. You got any other quick hits?
No.
All right. That's it. Slow news week, apparently. Let's get to our email or Twitter questions here. What do you got?
Well – well, actually, this isn't an email question. This question comes from Addy, handsome chap that sent in. But one of the, I guess it goes along with kind of a news hit, is that the WWE is set to bring in some mid-carders from the past to kind of shore up their talent depth and, like we talked about, work with some of the younger guys in the roster. I guess there's some top talent that have been – that pushed for this. And management's kind of agreed when they saw what happened with the Ryback and the John Cena or the John Cena and the CM Punk injuries. They can see they see how sort of shallow the depth waters are when it comes to some of this stuff. And so they're agreeing and they're looking at bringing some guys back. My question was just, what guys would you bring back?
Okay, now who was it that asked this question again? Addy, what's his name?
Addy the Magnificent.
Addy the Magnificent. So thanks for the question, Addy. We appreciate it. So, Addy, I don't know. Who would you bring in?
I looked at some of these guys that I would run. the first one that I thought of was Gold Dust to bring back.
Do you bring him back as the Gold Dust character again? Because you can't go anywhere with that.
Okay, well, here, let me read my actually, I come up with four acts here. Goldust,
mm-hmm.
Val Venus,
mm-hmm.
Scotty Fuhati, and the New Age Outlaws.
So you're not looking to bring back anybody who can be a main eventer, so what's the point? Like, if the whole point is that they're mid-card guys. Are they supposed to put over the guys to the point that they make these other guys bigger stars?
That bring in mid-carders from the past to shore up their talent depth and work with young guys. We're not talking about bringing Batista back. We're not looking at stars back. What I'm looking at is we're looking at Goldust, Val Venus, Scotty Tuhati, and the New Age Outlaws to work with the primetime players and the Cody Rhodeses and the Damian Sandows and all these guys bubbling and percolating and ready to push them back up to get the young guys up a level. I'm not looking for instant gratification.
No, okay, I was just confirming Addy's question. I wasn't sure his rules.
The Magnificent.
So yeah, I was just confirming Addy the Magnificent's questions. So they're all good names. If you're looking for guys who can teach people ring psychology and understand I think they're probably they have to be able to teach people the WWE style, obviously. Yes. So I mean, they're all good names. I mean, I wouldn't put Billy Gunn in there because he's a shitty worker. Actually, I wouldn't put Road Dogg in there because he's a shitty worker. I don't think they can teach anybody anything. Those two, to be honest with you, I don't think there's any more than they can teach them as agents, which one of them is right now, and the other one wants to be.
Yeah, I just think from that perspective, that's they're given more of a rub, and they don't they you know in terms of that those aren't guys that go on the house show loop like Goldust or Scotty Too Hot or Val Venus. I mean, I had actually written down Harry Boy Smith at one point and scratched him out when I looked at the kind of what the criteria was, right? I'm saying, well, no, I mean that's a guy to bring in to, you know, to push, not to shore up your talent. No, I mean, like Tenzai is a perfect example of a guy that can go and kind of work on the road with Brodus Clay, let's say. But because you're never going to take Tenzai seriously. I mean, I think they even wanted to try, as sad as that was. But
and then they named him Tenzai and gave him those stupid fucking tattoos.
Well, that was just the first day. I mean,
The second he took his mask off, it didn't work.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I have a tough time because,
it comes from the past.
You know, it's there's not a lot of guys who I think still. I want guys who I think can still go, and were let go too early. Like Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin are perfect.
Those are the guys I
would look more like guys like that because they can still go. So they're not going to be guys who are going to get winded to where, like Goldust, he got himself in great shape, but I don't know what shape he's in now, but I doubt it's good.
No, it's great. I saw a picture of Goldust on Facebook from this past weekend, and yeah, it looks in tremendous shape.
It's amazing because he bloated up like he was, you know, in Macy Day's parade back when he was Black Rain in TNA.
But then he got into enough shape when he came back.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure if he'd be able to have the discipline to maintain that. So, I mean, there's one guy, so maybe he can go. But, yeah, I mean, most of these guys, like Road Dogg, Billy Gunn, even Scotty Too Hotty. Val Venus, certainly. I mean, he's quite a bit old. Like, he's in his mid-40s, I believe. So, it's just...
The hepatitis puts X-Pac out of it, right? So...
And he shouldn't either. Like, it's just some guys should just call it a career. And I feel like majority of those guys fall underneath that. Except for, I think Goldust could have something, but... So that's why I look at like a Valve, like I said, I look at a Charlie Haas, Shelton Benjamin. If I'm in an ideal world, I get those guys because they can still go and make you have a 20 to 30 minute match, pushing your cardio and teaching you stuff on the road with you, which is what I think they really need, right?
I mean, they have William Regal that they've used a little bit more.
And I'm sure that'll be Christian's role whenever he comes back here, which should be soon.
Yeah, there's Christian as well that will
the same
show up.
Thing. I mean, I think some of these guys, like an MVP, and I just think to myself, I don't think he's a good enough worker really to do the role we're saying. He's a fair worker, but he's nothing special. And the day of the guys like Lance Storm, who was an awesome worker, but didn't have all the other qualities to be a star, who could just go on the road and work with these guys. It's been a long time since we've seen those guys show up where you just go, fuck, he's a great worker, but he can't, you know, he doesn't really have all the other qualities. So it's tough for me to think of guys in the last 5-6 years who've been released. I think Trevor Murdoch is a really good worker, much better than is given credit for. He's a guy I would look at again. He's still young enough. He can still go with these guys a little bit. I think that's one of the problems is just the great technicians. Never really made it to the WWE and failed. They just, those guys stayed in the indies and they're guys like Davey Richards, you know?
What a bone. Yeah. I mean, cause even your next, I mean, all your, I don't say your agents are all washed out, but I mean, you couldn't have Dean Malenko go back in. I mean, Brad Armstrong was doing that in 06, right? With the ECW relaunch, doing some of that.
And at the time he was 39. Which is just at the end of his, just where he can do it just a little bit longer, which is kind of what I see Goldust as.
And Val Venus, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I think he's, I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up and see how old he is. And fuck it, we will. We have the technology. We can build it. Sean Morley. Here we go.
One of the, I'm trying to think of another, I mean, all those other guys are dead.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, right? This would be a great role for Chris Jericho, because last time he was in, he didn't look like he could be a real star. at the main event level anymore. Sean Morley, you know what, he's 41. It's just, yeah, so he's right at the edge again. I guess that's probably about the same age as Cody Rhodes or Dustin Rhodes. But the thing is, it's just he looks so bad in TNA when he was there, that's all.
Yeah, but I mean, just give it, and again, I'm not even saying that these guys have to show up on, I don't even need them to show up on television.
No, I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean. But I still want them to be able to go 20 to 30 minutes and really keep a really try and put on 4-star matches with the guys, or teach them 4-star matches with the guys. So, because I think that's what they need, right?
That's true. But I mean, again, you're looking at that X generation there, that lost guys. I mean, Booker T is a guy, mm-hmm. right? But again, he come from WCW, made, you know, way too much money in a short period of time and doesn't need it and is retired.
Yeah, he's like 46.
I mean, you don't take the bumps, you don't have to. I mean, you take a risk. Well, hell, you take a risk with most of these guys with their fucking drugs and shit. But I mean, I don't see the Fed necessarily taking Matt Hardy back.
No, Matt Hardy would be perfect though. Matt Hardy is exactly what they need though, and not even to be on TV like you say, but for this role. This is what he'd be at his best at.
Shannon Moore, another guy.
There's a couple guys that are in TNA. Kid Cash, for instance, you know, guys like that, right?
Yeah. Did you hear who was in Florida developmental working out as a trainer, working as a trainer for these guys? Was back was Perry Saturn.
Okay. So that's an interesting one.
Mean, yeah.
Kid Cash, by the way, and.
94?
Like, ECW, if you've only seen him here in TNA, you don't understand that he was fucking awesome.
Even at the beginning of TNA.
Yeah, really? Awesome. Yeah, when he was back when he was ex-champion and defending against Sonny Siaki and stuff.
Him and Kazarian is the co-ex-champions.
He was tremendous.
Great...
He really was.
Yeah, I mean, and you look, it's funny because, I mean, the whole thing with Kid Cash come off as a, you know, like a Kid Rock, you know, ripoff.
And he was.
And I mean, and Scott Hall was so mad at that. Big fan of Kid Rock, apparently, Scott Hall.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
So, but, no, that kind of answers my question, is the mid-carders at... Again, there's not a lot out there. Is essentially what it is. Is that and it's because the previous era, the Attitude Era, wasn't based on workers. What about Bob Holly?
No,
did you bring
fuck
Bob
no.
Holly back.
I bring back, you know, Jimmy Wang Yang first.
With the young Bob Holly to work with the young guys? Maybe Hugh.
No. Like I said, I bring back a Jimmy Wang Yang before I bring these guys back. Yeah.
Did you throw scream Norman Smiley?
Actually, Norman Smiley'd be fine. Except for the fact that Norman Smiley never worked in WWE, so does he teach them the WWE style that they want?
Well, he does now. He's a trainer.
Yeah, I guess. What's his name? What's Dave Taylor?
Squire Dave
Taylor. Even though
Taylor,
he's old, you know, he and Fit Finley, I don't care. I don't care how old they get, because they're a different breed.
Fit Finley hasn't really aged in the last 15 years anyway. And Fit Finley's another guy, you know, that you can bring
back.
For sure.
All right, so let's move on to my topics. First off, we're going to talk to what we got from our buddy Freaks TV, guy who did a wonderful graphic artist who did our header for our website. You can check him out at his website. He's Freaks TV, and great guy. He sent me a question up. Basically...
He also did a header for your mom.
Yeah, but, you know, he was 50th that night.
Mm-hmm. It's true. This means he got it free.
Well, that's why he's called Freaks TV. There you go.
There he goes. Yeah, I thought it was called Freaks, but anyway.
Anyways, read me a little bit of this. Basically, he wants us to talk about finishing moves, pointing out that there's some moves, like the rock bottom, which doesn't look anything like it would be more painful than the average move. And he kind of wanted us to categorize it then. So, you know, most effective move, the you know.
Right.
Yeah, most effective move. Let's just open with that one. What looks like not the most effective move from what's most over, but what's the most effective move in that it looks like it would really be painful, really work, like Shawn Michaels' super kick or like a lot of these submission holds that, you know, like a Kurt Angle's, you know, ankle lock.
Are we talking today, though? Are we talking all time or are we talking just like
right now? I think we're just talking right now.
Okay. You know what? Let's go all time. Okay. If we go at all time, I think
let's do both.
The vertebra breaker. Yeah, well, that's something. All time, I would go with like the vertebra breaker. I'm trying to think of. There's been some other. I'm trying to think of. There's that. What the fuck was it called? The. What did Scott Steiner used to do? The Steiner screwdriver.
Yes. Remember that thing? Yes.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, that would kill somebody. Well, even just a, you know, again, if you got somebody up for a pile driver in real life and delivered it, well, you saw Steve Austin, the fact that he took a real pile driver one time and it wasn't even, you know, intent to kill him. You saw the damage that it did. But again, I think he's come into, and this is why he has these other two categories. He has weakest move when he's talking, and that's what he's talking about moves compared to moves that, like, why is Hulk Hogan's leg drop actually, you know, more effective than other moves when it's just a leg drop and you see them 1,000 times. So that's what he's...
Other people's legs. Well, is it or other people's leg drops?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, why could the 1-2-3 kid do his, like, super quick leg drop thing and not pin anybody but a Hogan?
Yeah, exactly. So that's his other category here. And then he talks about most useless or just wouldn't work. It goes against gravity. And I think something like the Steiner screwdriver, even just a pile driver in general. I mean, it's just in real life, really hard to get somebody, if they're not working with you, really hard to get them up in a move like that. It's impossible if somebody's not working with you to get them up for a Steiner screwdriver, right?
That's very true. And same with you when you look at something like a vertebra.
And that's why I didn't put that in there. Same thing. It takes two people to make you, yes, if it actually happened, it would be a devastating move.
That's what you said. What move would, if it actually happened, you think would really hurt? And that's where I was going with the vertebrae.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It would really be a devastating real-life move if it could be hit. But Shawn Michaels' super kick is perfect because it's simple. But if somebody hit you with that in real life, you'd be out cold.
You know what's a great real-life move that works in real life? Is the Texas Cloverleaf. If you can get their legs in that figure four position, you can just pick them at will.
Well,
there's nothing you can do. Because my brother and we used to wrestle all the time. And if you could hook the leg like that, there's nothing you can do to. I could get you in that move at 800 pounds.
And you know what?
Pounds.
The figure four, as silly as it seems, is something you actually theoretically could get on. And it does hurt like a motherfucker. You know, I mean, I don't know what people like. And a lot of those submission moves, yeah, I mean, the STF or whatever, you know, the crossface, you know, these moves. So I guess you would put the sharpshooter in that same category. I don't know if it's actually – I think the Texas Cloverleaf might be more painful.
I think in real life, the crossface could actually be really painful.
Oh, don't even go there. I know where you're going. Don't do it. Don't – you fucking asshole. Don't do it.
You're the one that said it.
It's so ashamed to do a show with you most days. But again, what about the Stone Cold Steve Austin's the Stunner, Stone Cold Stunner? Do you think that's an effective real life move in any way or what?
No, I mean it's again it just for show and I mean who used to be the one that would describe it? Was it JR that used to always sort of talk about the mechanics of the
move?
He
would do that about a lot of things.
I think Michael Hayes actually that did. When I think Michael Hayes or even Jim Cornette, one of the two, someone used to. I mean, when the Stunner was coming out, would actually, you know, talk about the, you know, dropping your shoulder down.
Yeah.
And
well, honest to God, if I grabbed you by your head, I jumped on my ass and I pushed you into my shoulder when I went down with my weight and gravity. There's no way you could fight it, and you would go right against your jaw would go right against my shoulder, and you would probably be in a hell of a lot of pain. Like.
Well, if that didn't get me, the fact it would be like probably a 6 on the Richter scale.
I Even if you did it to me and you weigh 12 pounds, it's still theoretically I'd follow you down. It'd be really hard to get somebody in that position, but theoretically I could see how that move could actually work.
Well, I think that's – no, but that's the other thing. That you talk about could you actually do the move. And no, if someone's not working with you, you can't
do the move. I don't
know.
If you grabbed him like that and just jumped on your ass, I don't see how he's going to continue to stand up if you had a good hold on him.
Well, it depends. I mean, for you, like you said, 600 pounds.
Go fuck yourself, you stupid douchebag. No, but
it is different. I couldn't do that move to you.
Probably not. Probably not.
You know what I mean? So that's when you talk about the difference of just the weight, right?
And you get the moves that look like they would hurt the least that they use, that they sell. Like they're, you know, I mean, it's obviously you come down to the rock bottom, the worm, the five knuckle shuffle. The worm, probably the worst.
Well, the worm was a finisher. Five knuckle shuffle, people's elbow. I mean, he did the people's elbow and finished a few matches. But, yeah, I'm trying to think of even something as trivial as a splash, like a frog splash. It just, you know, doesn't really, you know, never really did anything for me. You know, it's... Especially, again, it's all it is. And what is a frog splash compared to a splash, other than you just do a little flippity-do move in it? And, you know, and again, Rob Van Dam used to sell it in the same way that Justin Gabriel would sell the 450, and that it's going to hurt you just as much as it's going to hurt the person you're yep. hitting. So when you think about the logic of it, why does that person get out
yep.
first,
yep.
right? And so that's, you know, again, and you look at things even like the neutralizer or the Styles Clash.
Clash is just completely illogical that you could ever get anybody up actually in that move. Even the DDT, I don't think you could actually, if you actually lock that into somebody who tried to go down, I don't think you'd be able to bring him down. If you got in the double harm, double underhook DDT, that one theoretically, yeah. just because the person's ability to fight it off would be different. I think that one you could actually lock in and do, but...
I think DDT along the same lines as the stunners, if you've got a significant weight advantage like you do, then
have a significant weight advantage over you. Of course, then again, my dog has a significant weight advantage over you.
That's true. I'm lean, mean, twisted steel and sex appeal.
That's right. Like John Morrison?
But I have a dog.
Hey, how about John Morrison coming back for that mid-card role?
Yeah, that's true. How about Malin, though? That's probably it, though. Morrison's probably not allowed to come back because Molina beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's working in a movie or something like that, too.
I think Morrison
didn't he cut his hair so he looks like every other guy now, too?
I don't know.
Did we ever get John Morrison versus Dolph Ziggler? Because that could have been fucking fantastic.
I don't know. It was really important
apparently.
Did.
So let's keep talking about the moves. Anything else that you think of that's... I mean, really, when you look at it, most moves are, like, you talk about weight advantage. Same thing. I mean, if Mark Henry put the bear hug on you, it would hurt like a motherfucker, and I'd tap out in a second. But if, Cody Rhodes put the bear hug on you, I think I'd be fine.
Yeah. Well, Daniel Bryan has put down his groceries first. But the thing
he has put down your groceries first.
It's true. And the moves in real life, whatever, it's all a work. I just think the ones that moved kind of the stupidest, I guess, are the ones that were like, there's no way. Again, Hogan's leg drop is a good example of just the whole, like, what the
That's
hell.
Just
but,
move.
I mean, finishing moves, again, are just kind of, again, signature spots is really all that those were. And there's only been a few guys. You think of Jake Roberts in the DDT, where the DDT was the story. If he gets that move on you, it's lights out, you know. But other than that, it's like no one ever said that about Hogan's leg drop. Man, if he hits you with that leg drop, it's all over.
What about the superplex? I mean, it's just one of those moves where you're going, come on now.
Well, I mean, yeah, and again, the superplex is along the same lines as why does the guy giving the move get to get up and the guy that is receiving it doesn't? You know, that kind of thing, right? So, there's a lot of those. I mean, any submission moves for the most part.
Or anything simple like the clothesline from hell, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's just beaten. He's just
say any submission move. I'd say most. Like, I never looked at the torture rack and thought that actually looked like it hurt.
I never liked the. I never liked the dragon sleeper. I thought that was stupid.
I've seen it up close. Somebody put it on, and trust me, it would hurt like a motherfucker.
I just thought it looked.
It looks stupid, but it would hurt like a motherfucker.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it moves a
little. Why is the power bomb worse than a body slam? The last ride, because he lifts him up, grabs his trunks, and throws him down, always looked to me like a devastating move. Everybody, like, when it was Sid Vicious or even worse, Kevin Nash, I was thinking he just looked like he picked him up and dropped him, and looks just like a power slam or body slam.
You could ask the Big Show how a Kevin
Nash... Well, yeah, if he drops you on your fucking head because he doesn't pick you up all the way because he's a puss.
Fucking head. I know what you mean. I mean, so... I've never really... I mean, again, to me, finishing moves have just been a way to end a match, and every once in a while, if the story can be about the move, then that's,
well, that's
all
what,
right.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly. Again, that's what DDP's Diamond Cutter was, right? Even Randy Savage, or even Randy Orton's RKO is about the move.
Yeah, but it's a stupid
move.
Yeah,
it's one that doesn't look like it would hurt at all.
Whole thing is that you can take it, you can get it out of nowhere, like the diamond. I mean, it is a diamond cutter, and they play it the same way. Is that can come from a lot of different variations. It can come out of nowhere and boom, and that's it, though. I mean, but I mean, if in the grand scheme of wrestling, again, it's just like a DDT or a stunner, right?
And same thing you talk about the frog splash. Same thing with something like the senton or santon or whatever you want to call it, right? It's, all right. Let's. Anything else to say on this?
I'm just trying to think of the other one that I thought was great, and now it's
dropkick.
I've lost it. So
missile dropkick.
Yeah, missile. No, I'm trying to think of which. Anyway, okay. Doesn't matter.
All right, it'll come to you or it won't. One of those two things. One of those two things will fucking happen. And right. So, and the last one, it's kind of an interesting one. This was a direct message sent to me, and it was sent by Dolph Pigler, and his buddy, Jackie Gaeta. And I'm just going to say, Jackie, and he hyphened that, Jackie Gaeta. And I know it's our gimmick to have people, like, give fake names, and we appreciate it if they're clever. But sometimes you're just trying too hard. It's okay to just say, I'm Rich from Idaho. I don't mind. Rather than give me things like Dolph Pigler and Jackie Gaeta. Like, anyways, but I appreciate the question anyways. So he said basically...
Yeah, even though you're really retarded.
But Dolph says he's been watching wrestling for 3 years, and that his friend Jackie's been watching for 5 and got him into it, and that they watch WWE a lot and some TNA. They follow TNA and watch what they can. And he's wondering, since they've only been watching a few years, because a lot of stuff that we referenced in the past, they don't know about... Mm-hmm. If we were to tell them the most important things for them to go back and kind of watch, what would those be? So kind of if you're telling somebody who's brand new to it, oh, this is what you got to see. This is what's important, or this was what's best, or I guess, you know, what do you think?
That's tough.
It is, actually. You know what? It's
you know, because part of it comes to – I mean, there's two points of questions. If you're just a new fan and you want to go back, part of what makes – wrestling great is the investment in the characters and the actual having sort of an emotional attachment. I think of when Chris Benoit won the title at WrestleMania 20, and he had an emotional attachment to him. And you think of, you know, Stone Cold, and it's just you know, a big thing, or Tyson and Austin. But again, you had this, you watched Austin 316, says, I just whooped your ass, and then you got up to that year and a half moment, and you were following every week of the ride, and you're getting invested in the characters. And that's what makes a lot of these things great moments. And so when you go back and you say, well, what should I go back and watch? Well, if someone goes back and watches, you know, Shawn Michaels against Steve Austin at WrestleMania 14. Yeah, it's a good match. If you watch all of WrestleMania 14, yeah, you're probably not gonna like it. You know, it's probably not the thing. At the time, it was great. You know, I think of I mean, so there's some. It depends on what you want to do. But to go back and say this moment was really great, you've got to. There's a lot of reasons where you're being built up to a moment. and you've got to be kind of a part of that. Like, I, you know, just watch all of 1997.
No, you're right. You're right. I'll say, for instance, though, I mean, I'll tell somebody go watch the formation of the NWO, not just the end there, but the whole match. And you're not gonna have as much emotional investment because you hadn't watched Hulk Hogan for all those years as a babyface. But it's important. It's if you're gonna know your wrestling history, a moment like that's important.
But yes, I mean, if you want to go and talk about important moments in wrestling history, I mean, you go back and you watch Hogan winning the title from the Iron mm-hmm. Sheik. You watch Hogan and Andre. You watch the Mega Powers explode.
That's one that I definitely would tell people to go watch, because I think even if you don't have the emotional investment to those guys, I think you can see the difference between wrestling then when it was at its best and wrestling now, even when it's at its best. And that's just the amount of intensity and believability the characters put into the performances, the guys put into the performances. They lived the gimmick. And that night really showed that to me when the Mega Powers explode on that Saturday night's or on that the main event.
Yeah. I mean, but again, you flip the coin here now and you watch, you watch Ric Flair, you know, beat, I think it's Dusty in Kansas City, mm-hmm. right? You have to watch this. There's two promotions there to be paying attention yep. to, right? I would say go watch Jerry Lawler and Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, watch that stuff to see your history. Again, it just depends on how far back you even want to go. I mean,
Misawa versus Kenta Kobashi, who just retired this last week. Yeah. In Japan, I'd say just go watch that, because it's a different style, and it's about – you can open yourself up. The same thing. I mean, you can watch X Division now or ROH, and you're going to see a lot of smaller guys doing these flippy-doo-doos, and you might think that's a good match. But I say you go watch Dean Malenko versus Rey Mysterio or Ultimo Dragon versus Dean Malenko or stuff like that.
Go watch Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho after Malenko takes that mask off from that yeah. cruiserweight battle royal shot at Jericho. A, you'll never see a pop like that in today's yep. wrestling. And B, it was a great match. Plus, you got Jericho doing his comedy with everybody coming out, doing the announcement. I mean, that encapsulates things there. Go watch, the Hart Foundation against the British
Yeah,
Bulldogs.
And watch Rey Mysterio versus Eddie Guerrero from Halloween Havoc 96. Because, again, just to see what cruiserweight action is like when they really understand the psychology in addition to the athleticism, instead of nowadays where they kind of just favor the athleticism.
Yeah. I mean, again, Hogan and Andre, you've got to watch Hogan and
Not
Andre.
Not the match. Yeah, I guess you probably got to watch the match.
You got to watch 93,173.
Yeah, I mean, if you could, maybe you watch all of WrestleMania 3, maybe you watch all of WrestleMania 17, you know?
17-3. I mean, as you get some, I'm just trying to think
the
of
Bret Hart.
You
I think you've watched the Bret Hart Steve Austin match from WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, I think you watched the Royal Rumble 1992.
Mm, I could see that. Yeah,
winning, and then you just see some of the guys that are in. I mean, Texas Tornado, Rick Martel. I mean, these are the undercard guys in this. And, what's your dog barking at?
Ah, people, fuck them.
Okay. It was really loud. But anyway, just thinking of other things that they could go watch from. Again, maybe you watch the 1-2-3 Kid and Bret Hart from
Raw. Yeah, you see, I mean, that's kind of where I go. That's almost the cutoff point to me, where it's like, that's a four-star match, maybe more. But what's the cutoff point? Where's is it important? Is it a great match? Sure, but... I mean, I would say watch Bret Hart versus Owen Hart from WrestleMania 10.
Yeah, and then the ladder match at WrestleMania 10. Watch those two things. I mean, the ladder match at WrestleMania 10.
I don't think
it will
really hold up. It doesn't hold up. And especially if it doesn't hold up to us, I imagine somebody who's only watched and seen ladder matches from the last 3 or 5 years will really think it doesn't hold up. But it is historically important.
But that's what we're talking about, isn't it?
I think a little bit of both. I'm kind of trying to come at it from a let's do this. What do you say? Go ahead.
No.
What were you
going to
say?
It just depends on what you're looking for, too.
So let's do this. Let's say, as a... What's that?
looking for promos, looking for matches, looking for moments. I mean,
I think let's go back and say to somebody, let's you and I come back to this. Let's revisit this in a few weeks, a week, 2 weeks, whatever. We'll come up with some boundaries here, and we'll say, say for instance, two matches, okay, two moments, and two promos from the 80s. Two matches, two moments, and two promos from the 90s, or whatever, you know, or a match and let's come up with something and revisit this and spend a little time thinking about it a little more. What do you say? Future topic?
I could do it right now.
I can't. Yeah, I'd need to think about it. I'd need to put some time into that one and think about that one.
Well, wait to see the smoke.
Because it'd be tough for me to necessarily say those are the two most important moments of the 90s.
Oh, I don't care about most important. If these are two moments important, I mean, if they're the most important, great. But that's going to be such a subjective thing that you can't narrow it down to two or four if we each do two. You know, there's more than four important moments that happened.
I know, but
you
I'm
know,
saying if we 19- do, if we did, if we kind of narrowed that down, two each maybe, and that would give people enough. Just I don't want to give them everything they should go and do. Fuck, you know, that's too much work. But I want to give these new people who've been only watching for a little while, if they're curious, kind of just a foundation to build their house on of what maybe they should check out. So let's do that.
Is it made of?
What's that?
Is it made of hearts?
No.
The foundation.
It is not. It is not.
Oh.
It's a new
the
foundation.
The 80s are easy. The 80s are easy. You watch Piper's Pit with Hogan and Andre, and you watch the main event stuff for Lust in Your Eyes and the Mega Powers exploding. Cap. Those are your moments.
And
you watch Savage and Steamboat.
I think the Roddy Piper Mr. T moment perhaps goes in there.
Well, there you go. See, then we got the things, and that's it.
No, it's
easy.
Not. I need to spend some more fucking time to think about this.
Okay.
I need to spend some time to think about what are the moments and the matches and just kind of, you know, what I would choose. So let's just put it aside, two promos. And like I say, I don't even know what the specifications are of what we're going to do here. We'll figure that out. We'll come back to it. We'll email or text each. We don't email. We'll fucking text each other and figure it out and do it for a future show.
And no worries. I'm ready to go whenever you want.
All right. Let's wrap this one up. By the way, I love you wearing your Owen 316 shirt here.
I am, yes. He just says, I just broke your neck.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a moment. So, all right, let's, what do you say, do the plugs so we can get OUT on this motherfucker.
Moe's mom.
Not everybody's plugs.
Oh, I see. You said plugs, not Uggs. I get you. Yeah, so we're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. It's Addie, A-D-D-I-E, at WeTalkWrestling.com. It is WeTalkWrestling.com, obviously, is the email. And we're on Stitch and iTunes. So, you know, so you can subscribe on iTunes, like us, put a comment in, rate us and such would be wonderful if anybody would like to do that, because that does help with the iTunes people. So that's wonderful. How about you, Mo?
Well, I'm Mo at We Talk Podcasts. But don't
yes,
email me for wrestling. Just email Addy.
Yeah.
You can send me a direct message. Follow me on Twitter, Mo_WeTalk.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll get a lot of witty repartee there.
I mean, for questions. Don't expect me to answer back. Odds are I don't like you. I don't like anybody.
That's true. Yes. And he doesn't even, and he's not even racist, because he doesn't know anything about you other than he doesn't like you.
I like you all equally and dislike you all equally.
That's true. Yes. He likes you all equally.
Yeah.
Not at all.
All right. We're done?
That is going to do it, I think, for another wacky edition of We Talk Wrestling. So in the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling.
This episode, I just wanted to add.
Boobs.
I was going to say fuck.
Oh, fuck boobs.
Just sitting here. Trying to find myself, I get behind myself.
Yeah.